I was going to say this looks like a Bible. It really isn't. It's a commentary. Number 16 has Mark and Luke. This commentary is probably 30 years old. I bought this time when I first went to Bible college, first year of Bible college. They've been very helpful. This particular commentary actually has a sequence of events on that Easter morning, chronologically put in the place that they believe is the way it actually happened. So I'd like to go through that with you. We have different accounts. In fact, all the Gospels talk about the account. Matthew is probably the one that has the earliest account. When I say early, Jesus would have arose somewhere around 3-4 o'clock in the morning. We have recorded there, and if you want to turn to it, it's the last chapter of Matthew, somewhere close there, chapter 28 of Matthew. While you're turning there, I'll do like Colin does. I'll give you a chance to get there. You did all right. You want to help me out this morning? You're welcome to. Oh, yeah. Actually, while they're turning, Colin, I usually like to talk about some things. That's what I usually try to do. If I have something there, sometimes it's not there. You know what I mean? All right. Well, let's look at chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, you'll notice all of the accounts talk about the Sabbath is now past. The Sabbath is over. The Sabbath is on Saturday for Jews. The Sabbath for Christians is on Sunday. We treat Sunday as a Sabbath. They treat Saturday as a Sabbath. It said it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. That would be Sunday. We consider it to be the first day of the week. Came Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is the lady through whom the Lord cast seven spirits out of. And of course, you'll find her in all the harmonies of the gospel. She's listed. And it says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, when the author's writing the other Mary, they're saying it's not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Okay, that's the reason why it says the other Mary. We're not looking at the Mary of the mother of Jesus. This is a different Mary. In fact, she was believed to be the mother of James and Joseph, as we'll see later. Matthew records an earthquake. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. There we're told what he did. He rolled the stone away. He didn't need to have any help. He could do it all his own. It's interesting, some angels are visible and some angels are not visible. They're only visible, I guess, if the Lord wants you to see them. Remember the Old Testament situation where the prophet was getting worried about all the large army that they were being confronted with, and the prophet said, those that are with us are more than that you see. And so the prophet made sure that his servant could see the real army, made up of God's angels. When he seen that, he thought, oh, we ain't got a problem. No problem here. So some angels are able to be seen and some are not. So this one came down, rolled the stone away and sat on it, showed his authority upon it. For him, rolling the stone away was no problem. His countenance was like lightning. His raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I noticed when we were singing the song, it said the guards had fled. I don't really see that. What I see is the guards had been shaken and they're actually unconscious. They're laying in a state of unconsciousness. It doesn't say they fled. It just says they were what? Just what it said. And became as dead men. They were laying on the ground. They weren't moving. They were like dead men. They were unconscious for some reason. I don't know how long they were, but that's what it says here. We don't need to read nothing then. When it's not there, it's there. And the angel said, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Now the angel's going into the tomb and said, look, come in here and look. I was there. I looked and seen the tomb was empty. Go quickly and tell his disciples, he's risen from the dead. Behold, he goes before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. And they did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Okay. First chronological is, of course, the actual resurrection of Jesus, which would have occurred sometime before 5 o'clock. We have approximate times here. The reason that this can be a little confusing is that because there are two groups of women. There are two groups of women that come to the tomb that day. The first group came to the tomb around 5 a.m., Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. And Salome is believed to be probably the mother of the sons of thunder. They were referred to as the sons of thunder. They believed that Salome was their mother. It was twilight. It was just dawning. Mary Magdalene goes in before any of the others. And then she returns to Peter and John. And that's recorded in John chapter 20, verse 1. Then the next sequence of events was at 5:30. Her companions reached the sepulchre. This is the other ladies or women that was with her. We don't know how close these women all lived together, but we know that they were going to finish. They wanted to anoint the body. You realize the Sabbath was, and they could not do it. That's why they wanted to come and complete it, because they weren't able to finish because of the Sabbath. And so that's why they were coming. Now her companions at 5:30 reached the sepulchre when the sun had risen. According to Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 2, the sun had now risen. And there's a vision of an angel and a message, of course, again to the disciples that they were to go tell the disciples. And in one account, I'm trying to remember which account, it might have been Mark's account, that he says, and the angel said, tell the disciples and Peter. He made a special announcement to tell Peter. Why do you suppose that is? Peter denied him. He denied him 3 times and felt very bad about it. And he wept and repented and wept bitterly. He was very sorrowful, because the Lord reminded him that that's what he'd do. And so the angel said, tell the disciples and Peter. Include Peter. Make sure you tell Peter. Okay, then my account here now shows 6 a.m. This is the second party. This would be the second party. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I think I'll go to Luke's account for that. I'd like to go to Luke's account. This would be the second group. I'd like to get there and read that, because it's a little different. All right, here we have the second group coming around 6 o'clock. I want to read that passage, chapter 24 of Luke, if you're following after. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Now, we don't know who the others were. It just says there were other women. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, how many men? 2. Now, our first reading in Matthew said how many? 1. So we have now a second group of women that have come to the tomb. This time, there's 2 young angels, 2 young men, the Bible says. One sitting at the head, one sitting at where the feet would have been. So we have Luke's account. There's 2 men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to earth, they said to them, why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And like I said, this was our second group that comes a little later, still very early in the morning, but they came a little later. And of course, they had the vision of the two young angels and hear their words of comfort. Then we have 6:30. All right, John chapter 20, verses 3 through 10. So let's go to John. Are you with me? We're Luke now. We got to go to John. John chapter 20, verses 3 through 10. All right. It's interesting to read these different accounts. They all add a little bit something different to the story. First day of the week, that's the same, comes Mary Magdalene early, and you notice that Mary Magdalene's always early. She beats all the other women. Why do you suppose that is? What does the Bible say? To whom is forgiven much, loveth much? The Lord cast 7 demons out of her, 7 evil, torturing spirits that had bothered her for a long time. She was tortured with them. And she was so grateful to have her life back. She was in full charge of her life now. Spirits didn't run her life. She was free. Free at last. And that's why this dear lady loved Jesus so much, because he forgave her of so much. She has so much to be grateful for. Remember when he was in the house of Simon and the lady kept wiping his feet? And he said the whole time, he said that I was here, he said, you didn't offer me any water for my feet. You didn't offer me any of these things. And this woman here has been washing my feet since I've been here and drying them with her hair. And that's when Jesus made this statement, to whom much is forgiven, she loves much, because God forgave her so much. There's Simon. Of course, he didn't think he needed forgiveness. Probably he just thought he was a good man anyway. Always in a religious home. But it's quite the difference between Simon and this lady that kept washing his feet and drying them with her hair. What a difference. And he was drawing an analogy. The Lord had forgiven her of many things in her life, and so she loves much. Okay, back to chapter 20 of John. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, John is writing, so John is referring to himself here, to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we don't know where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. Who ran faster? And so they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. He did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. But what did John do? He stayed outside of the sepulcher. He didn't just rush in like Peter did. When John got there, he just waited, and Peter went rushing in. John stood outside the sepulcher, because that's what it says here. He's stooping down, looking in. He saw the clothes lying there, yet went he not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulcher and seeing the linen clothes lie. And the napkin, Steve mentioned, that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but it was wrapped together in a place by itself. What is significant about this napkin that was wrapped and it was folded? What's the significance of that? I heard that. Do you know when you're done eating, if you take your napkin and just throw it on the plate, that means you're finished. The one waiting on the table can just take your stuff. But when that napkin is folded, and laid down beside the plate, that means I'm coming back. I'm coming back. That's what it means. That's the significance of the folded napkin. I'm returning. I'm coming back. I'm not finished. My work on the cross was finished. He said it's finished. But he's coming back. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They still didn't understand that. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Mary stood without at the sepulcher crying. She was weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And she seen two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seek thee?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, "Sir, if thou would have borne him, hence tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." She recognized that voice. She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said, "Touch me not, I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But I go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. All right. When the Lord revealed himself to Mary Magdalene, this was now approximately 7 a.m. in the morning. It was about 7 a.m. Not long after he reveals himself to these women who had returned to the sepulcher, he charges the brethren to go to Galilee. And then we have the next chronological event that occurred between 4 and 6 p.m. The appearance of two disciples on the way to Emmaus. On the road to Emmaus, he appeared unto them. All right. This is interesting. I would just continue to read this particular passage in John. Verse 19, "Then the same day at evening became the first day of the week when the doors were shut. The disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus, and he stood in the midst of them and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.' And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they will be remitted unto them. And whosoever sins be retained, they will be retained.' But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus had came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.' After 8 days, again his disciples were assembled, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He stood in their midst and said, 'Peace unto you.'" I want you to notice his glorified body. He just passed through the door. He didn't have to have a door open. He just passed right through. Passed through the wall, passed through the doors. That's what he had. What he just appeared to them. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach hither your finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed." That's speaking to us. We're more blessed. We haven't seen him. We believe he exists. But the Lord says we're more blessed because we still believe and haven't seen him. we're more blessed because it takes more faith to believe in somebody you haven't seen. And that's why he pronounced this blessing, that those who do not see are more blessed, Thomas. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and believed. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. All right. I want to get to the two on the road to Emmaus. All right. I believe it's back in chapter, Matthew. Matthew might have something to say about that. 24, let's go back to Matthew. Evidently not, Colin. Shall I give more time? I need more time instead of them. I need much more time. I need to go to Mark and see if Mark is talking about what I want to see. Da 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 da. Mark 16. There it is. Mark 16. Chapter 16, verse 11, they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Okay. As they walked and went into the country. All right. I want to see the actual place that they actually had more to say about that. I think... Probably Luke. I think Luke had more to say about that. I have to check on Luke because I think he had more to say about that. Luke chapter 24. See how you do this? Harmony of the Gospels. This is how it works. Yeah, this is it. This is where I want to go. Okay. Verse 12, chapter 24 of Luke. Rose Peter, ran into the sepulcher. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, departed wondering himself at that which was come to pass. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. 6 to 8 miles is what that would be. I have written in my margin. They talked together of all the things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. He said to them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, which we believe to be Joseph's brother, would have been Jesus' uncle. We believe Cleopas was Joseph's brother, answered and said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, what things? I like that. Jesus just wants more information from them. He knew exactly what happened, didn't he? He just wanted them to respond. He wanted to know what they had to say. That's why he said that. Well, he says, like what things? And they said, well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Isn't that amazing? And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. He made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went in to tarry with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. What did they see? Huh? He broke bread, and he gave it to them. What did they see? They saw the nail prints in his hands. Their eyes were opened. They saw the nail prints. Then they knew who he was. Isn't it amazing that he talked with them all that time, and now they realized it was Jesus himself? He broke the bread and he gave it to them. And as he gave it to them, they could see his hands. Of course their eyes were opened. And their eyes were opened, and they knew, him, and he vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and he hath appeared to Simon. And they told him what things were done in the way, how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. So you see, this was somewhere around 6 p.m., somewhere between 4 and 6 o'clock. Remember, the day was far spent, and they invited him to come in. Remember reading, the day was far spent? It was probably around 6, maybe could even been 8 o'clock. Could have been just really getting close to dark. All right, and so after 4 p.m., we have Peter, the appearance to Peter. He shows himself to Peter. And then, of course, later that night, he appeared to the 11 and to the others. And, of course, twice he showed up with the apostles, because the second time, Thomas was there. And Thomas said, unless I see with my own eyes, I will not believe. And basically, the Lord said, Thomas, don't be doubting. Believe. Blessed are they who see, have not seen, and believe. Okay. All right. Can we have our group back for closing? We're going to have a chance for you to come to the altar and be anointed for anointing.